The new book, Dorothea Lange, Grab a Hunk of Lightning, is a volume that celebrates one of the 20th century's most important photographers, led off by an authoritative biographical essay by Elizabeth Partridge, Lange's goddaughter. The book goes on to showcase Lange's work in over 100 plates. It is a great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Partridge to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This book is presented as a companion to the PBS American Masters program that will air in 2014. How did this whole project come about?
This was a long time in the works. Dorothea's granddaughter, Diana Taylor, has been working for 7 years to get the funding to make a film on Dorothea. She's a beautiful, amazing documentary cinematographer, Diana Taylor is. She has definitely got her grandmother's eye. And I grew up within the family as a goddaughter. So Diana and I are very good friends. And I promised her if she ever got funding for her film, I would do a companion volume to go with it. And so after working and working, she got the funding. And I was like, okay, I'm in. Let's go.
It is such a beautiful book and a monograph. And your goal was to do what in collecting the photos that are included?
I had a couple of really fun goals for me. One of my goals was that I wanted to put images in the book that were rarely or never seen, along with her more well-known work, because I felt that, you know, with 100 gorgeous tritone images that I could put in this book, I had an opportunity to introduce people who are familiar with Dorothea's work to images they'd never seen before. So I think I got 16 or 17 images in there that people won't know, and they're absolutely beautiful. I mean, they're the hard part for me was what I couldn't include,
right,
obviously. That was one of my goals. Another goal I had was, I was only 14 when Dorothea died, and she had been the absolute matriarch of our family. You know, she held all of us together. She formed our lives. She formed everything down to the way we dressed, how we celebrated our holidays. And I didn't really get to know her as an adult. 14's that age where you start looking up at the adults around you and going, hey, what are their lives about, instead of just playing Scrabble on the floor while they did their adult thing. So I had a chance to walk the walk with her, go where she had gone, follow her life. And what I wanted to do was trace her evolution as an artist, because she started out as a portrait photographer, you know, just doing very formal portraits of wealthy people. Then she went out on the streets and became, by her own definition, a documentary photographer. Very late in her life, she became and was willing to admit that she was an artist. So you just have this beautiful passage of how she changed in her self-image and how her photography changed. That really took me maturing to be able to look for that.
The photo Migrant Mother, which is such an iconic image and an iconic image of the Depression era, what was the reaction to that during its time, and did that really help her career as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. When she submitted the images of the Migrant Mother, and there's 5 or 6 that she took, you know, it was like, okay, these are interesting, you know, more pictures of people who are suffering and have a, you know, kind of desperate attempt to kind of, you know, survive. But Roy Stryker, who was head of the FSA, the Farm Security Administration, which was a governmental agency which was responsible for taking photographs that she and other photographers made and disseminating them into newspapers and magazines, as well as showing them to people in Congress to try to enact legislation to help, Roy realized the power of Migrant Mother, and he gradually used it more and more until he finally said, this image has become the iconic image of the Great Depression, which it certainly is, and it is to this day. Interestingly enough, for Dorothea, because it was so widely disseminated, and she made no money off of that because it was a government taken for the government, so it belonged to the government,
right,
which is wonderful to us today because it's absolutely free. You know, you can reproduce that anywhere you want through purchasing just an image at the Library of Congress or downloading their stuff they have online. But Dorothea at a certain point said, this image no longer belongs to me. It belongs to the world. You know, she kind of let go of it and let it move out into its place.
And you talked about this, but you certainly see it in the book as how she then started to take on a documentary feel to what it is that she was doing, and really to travel extensively. And in those travels, what do you think she was ultimately looking for?
Dorothea had a really interesting agenda. She wanted to photograph the desperate plight of many, many people during the Great Depression. And she not only did like the Dust Bowl refugees in California, but she put thousands and thousands of miles on her car every summer driving, particularly through the Deep South and doing amazing work in the Deep South. And her goal was to show that the people she photographed still had pride and dignity. You know, that they, despite, you know, the struggle to stay clean, the struggle to be fed, these were still people who managed to hold on to some of their self-respect. And she wanted to show that people could do that. She was very entranced with people's ability to deal with adversity.
You touched on this earlier, and I wanted to get back to it, and that is her final admission of coming to the understanding that she was indeed an artist.
Yeah, it was not an easy. it didn't come easily to her. When she was in her first marriage with Maynard Dixon, who was a painter, they were part of the bohemian San Francisco crowd, and they looked with skepticism upon people who called themselves artists because they thought it was kind of a cheap shot, you know, that you could easily become your own image of an artist rather than actually doing the work. So her husband always referred to himself as a painter, and she referred to herself as a photographer. But late in her life, starting in 1958, she began taking trips around the world with her second husband, Paul Taylor. Once she was out of the United States, she no longer understood the context she was photographing in. She photographed familiar things, women standing in doorways, people working in fields, gathering places where people bought food or clothing or pots and pans. But she didn't know the political situation, and it freed her. And what happened is her photography took on this very lyrical, beautiful way of being that it hadn't been before. That was also enhanced by, at the very end of her life, she put together the first, what we call a one-man show of photography, which was actually the very first one-woman show by New York's MoMA, Museum of Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. The curator, John Sarkowski, loved that artistic sense of hers and really worked with her to bring that out in the show. He didn't want to make just a political statement in the show. He wanted to show the beauty of her whole life's work.
How interested was she in the political statements beyond what she was photographing? Was there work that she wanted to do, or was it solely work that she wanted to do with the camera?
Sorry, how do you mean?
Given the feel of these photos and the sentiment that they had, did she want to go beyond that? Did she want to explore these lives beyond the camera, or was it relegated to just that?
Okay. She loved to take the photograph. I mean, it's hard to imagine now how hard she worked at that. We so quickly take a photograph, but you know, she had these huge cumbersome cameras, and she got out in the field early in the morning and she worked till the end of the day when she, you know, till there was no more light. That was her determination. What she added to those photographs was she interviewed, she talked with the people that she photographed, and she often wrote down their exact words because she loved as she said, the words that come direct from the people are the greatest. So often in her captioning, she would put in something that the person said as that to add information to the photograph. So that added a dimensionality to the work she was doing so that it wasn't just an image. It was also suddenly an image of a person with a struggle. So that's what she would turn in to Roy Stryker, or when she photographed the Japanese-American internment, she had very, very strong feelings about that it was an erosion of civil liberties. So she was eager to show that. Now, after she did the work for the government, she turned the photographs in, and that was where her responsibility stopped for her.
When you look at the subtitle of the book, Grab a Hunk of Lightning, that comes from where?
Yeah, it's an unusual subtitle. When Dorothea was a portrait photographer, she was dealing with the very, very most elite wealthy clients in San Francisco while the Depression was cutting deeper and deeper into people's lives. So she was up in her studio one day, which was up on a second floor on a corner with, you know, beautiful windows all the way around that let in the light. And one day she was just looking down, and she saw these men come walk to the corner in their broken-down shoes and their old clothes, and they'd stand there not even knowing which way to go. They kind of got, you know, they kept heading west as far as they could, and now here they were in San Francisco, busted. And she just decided, I've got to make something happen. She grabbed her camera, she went out on the street, and she took some photographs, and she took the negatives, she developed them, she made a print, and she put it up on her wall all within 24 hours because she said she wanted to just see if she could grab a hunk of lightning. So that's where we got that as a subtitle. It was that incredible passion in her that just drove her, you know, that first trip out onto the street, that became her photograph, White Angel Breadline, which is one of her most well-known photographs. She took that very first day she went out, a man with a little tin cup leaning on a fence, and everyone else is behind him facing away. And, you know, the loneliness and melancholy in that photograph is just astonishing.
Dorothea Lange, Grab a Hunk of Lightning, is a beautiful new book. It is published by Chronicle. There is a biographical essay written by Elizabeth Partridge. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's been wonderful.
A delight. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Dorothea Lange, Grab a Hunk of Lightning. It's published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.